I want to preach, and the word preach means proclaim. These aren't my ideas. I want to preach to proclaim hope this evening. When we hear that word, it makes us think of expectations, a desire for something to happen, longings to be fulfilled, but about which we can't be certain. We may hope that Ed Miliband makes it into Downing Street, or that David Cameron returns to number 10. We may hear the words of hope issued by the formidable leader and speaker Nicola Sturgeon, who espouses so clearly and passionately a stronger Scotland, anti-austerity, working for the United Kingdom message. At a time of general election in our country, it's natural for those in positions of political power and influence to promise and pledge words of hope, of a different and better future, of a country moving from austerity to affluence, of communities with greater social cohesion where justice and compassion are increasingly evident at every level of public life. But we don't just go looking for hope with our politicians. I think we just as likely go looking for it with our possessions. Isn't it possible to hope in Apple? And I don't mean the edible kind, I mean the technological kind. What was it that Steve Jobs, the co-founder of Apple, said to John Sculley, the famous Pepsi executive, when he was persuading him to come and work for the company Apple? He said to him, "Do you want to sell sugar water for the rest of your life, or do you want to come with me and change the world?" Wow, there are words of hope right there. An Apple Mac, an iPhone, an iPod, an iWatch to change the world. Politicians, possessions. What about pastimes? Out in the garden, the art class, the choir, or our greatest national pastime, sport. Winning a game, watching the team. Then there's the most favourite leisure activity of all, holidays. Planning and anticipating the sun, especially here in the UK. Holidays, we look forward to them, hoping for a good time, a restful break. When the contestants on Pointless are asked, "How will you spend the money?" What do they reply most often? Holidays. But I guess if we really stop and think about these examples and countless others, we'd admit that they cannot fulfill our greatest hopes. Can they really meet our greatest expectations, fulfill our deepest longings? Can politicians, an iPad, a smartphone, holidays do that? One of the first followers of Jesus, a man called Peter, began a letter that we have in the Bible, Steve just read it to us, like this. Have a look at these words on the screen. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." Do you see it? Do you see this word of hope? Addy, Mickey, Kinga, Amica, Zelia, Hamid, Reza, Hamid, they've seen it. They've listened to Jesus say, "What good is it for a man or a woman to gain the whole world, yet lose their own soul?" "Believe in God," says Jesus, "believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come back to take you to be with me where I am." Those being baptized, along with many in this room this evening, have realized that their hopes can never be fulfilled by politicians and possessions or holidays, money in the account. And the reason for that is they were never meant to. We were made for more. Gloriously more. You see, this material universe is not all there is. We are made bodily, yes, but also spiritual people. Hamid Reza showed us his investigations, his acknowledgement of that, even when he didn't know the Lord Jesus. A massive percentage of people agree with that. We have all kinds of religions and spiritualities that try to give answers to our deepest hopes, our greatest longings. But how do they do with answering questions about a guilty conscience on the inside? And the suffering we face on the outside? The fear of death that awaits us all? And what awaits us beyond death? What peace and assurance, what hope do these things really give? The unique claims of Christianity are the unique claims of Jesus. The historical figure Jesus of Nazareth said he was God and had the only true answers to these questions of lasting hope. That he is the only hope to overcoming death and finding life the other side. He is what truly satisfies, Jesus said. He is where we find our hopes fulfilled. Knowing God as Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what we were made for, without us knowing it. And yet, stupidly, what we also resist and ignore with every fiber of our being. We were made to know the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, and glorify him. Listen to how one of the Psalms describes God. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. This is the God we were made to hope in, to delight in and serve. Speaking words that are right and true. That's what he does. Faithful in all he does. Loving righteousness and justice. Unfailing in love. That's my kind of politician. Read the accounts of Jesus, I challenge you. This is what you'll see. These words there lived out. Who made the heavens and the earth? God did. Beat that apple. See, Jesus is power over creation in the gospel accounts. This is what we were made for without us knowing it. And yet, stupidly, what we resist with every fiber of our being. We don't fear the Lord. The people of the world do not revere him. The Bible calls it sin. And it brings us under God's right and true judgment in this life and a hell to come. When we put our greatest hopes in a political system or an Apple product or a holiday or a relationship instead of the living God, our rebellion is repulsive in God's sight. And we do it all the time. I do it all the time. God must deal with that, must punish it. He's just. But in those opening words of the letter of Peter, we saw a wonderful bit of good news because we saw that God is merciful. Look at the reading again on the screen. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in his great mercy. God loves us and is patient with us in the midst of his anger. And he has worked so that we might not be treated as our rebellion and sins deserve. That we might find fulfillment to our hopes. The things that we so desperately crave. For all who look and believe in him, he has given new birth into a living hope. The God of creation who gave us life has made recreation, new life possible. The account of all our failures and wrongs, past, present, and future, wiped clean. The longings and desires of our hearts fulfilled. A hope that does not fade, like when the politician's promises fail, or the next iPhone comes out, or the holiday comes to an end. No, a living hope that never fails, that takes us not just through this life, but into the life to come, where 10,000 years will feel like the first step, and each step will be better than the one before. It's like being born again. How is this possible? How does a God who is right and faithful and true and just, a God of justice, accomplish this? And Peter tells us, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus came to this earth, fully God and fully man, to open up a way back to a restored relationship with God. Our rebellion and its just judgment of death dealt with through his own death on the cross. And Jesus' willing sacrifice was vindicated 3 days later when he rose again, defeating the power of sin and death and opening up the way to eternal life with God. On the 5th of August 2010, a cave-in occurred at the San Jose copper gold mine in the Atacama Desert, Chile. The accident left 33 men trapped 700 meters below the ground. That's like 2,300 feet below ground. It was a desperate situation. Do you remember it? For a while, it seemed as if they were facing the prospect of being underground for months, perhaps never making it up alive again. Their circumstances were frightening. No natural light, scarcity of food, danger of further parts of the mine collapsing. They consumed two little spoonfuls of tuna, a sip of milk, and one biscuit every 48 hours. A massive rescue operation began. After drilling down carefully to the miners, the capsule Phoenix was sent to retrieve the miners. On Tuesday, the 12th of October, at 7 in the evening, Manuel Gonzalez, an experienced rescue expert, endured an 18-minute descent. It took him 18 minutes to get down there to the miners. They'd been trapped underground for over 2 months. Now, imagine the disbelief of everyone on the ground above, Chile, the world watching, if on seeing Manuel Gonzalez, the miners had rejected the rescue. He's coming down to rescue them, their hopeless situation. Imagine the foolishness, the stupidity, if the Chilean miners had become so used to the darkness, to two bits of tuna every 48 hours, to the hopelessness, that they refused the rescue that Felix capsule offered. Jesus came to take us out of darkness, to take us out of our sin and rebellion, out of hopelessness, and bring us up to life, to an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for all who believe. Earthly governments can't offer that. Your Apple device will spoil and fade. The holidays will end, but not life in Jesus. This hope completely satisfies, never diminishes, lasts forever. You see, hope in the Bible isn't wishful thinking. It's rock solid certainty based on the person and work of Jesus Christ. This is the testimony of each of those getting baptized tonight. Adi, Mika, Kinga, Amika, Zelia, Hamid, Reza, and Hamid. They've trusted in Jesus. They're one with him. They've gone into the capsule. They're going up. A global testimony of the hope that Jesus alone brings. And to each of the guys being baptized this evening, we say together as a church, we join with you. We want to encourage you and stand with you. And encourage you to stand, abide, walk, follow, rest in Jesus. Zelia mentioned the cost of following Jesus. With the whole world going against the truth of who God is and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, it is costly to follow Christ. It involves suffering, opposition of the world. But brothers and sisters getting baptized this evening, we trust and want to remind you and say to yourselves every day, I am a child of God. God is my Father. Heaven is my home. Every day is one day nearer, eternal joy with Jesus. He is my brother. And every Christian is my brother and sister too. What a hope. And that's an encouragement to every follower of Jesus here tonight. Rejoice, brothers and sisters, in the hope that Jesus brings. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. But as I finish, let me do so by speaking to those who still don't trust, still don't know the hope that Jesus brings. It might be many of the young people on the back there, up in the top of the gallery, or many of the Connect kids here on the side. Do you know what? Firstly, you can carry on just disregarding what God's word says. That means you go on living as if your hopes can be fulfilled by, I don't know, studies or the next bit of tech or the next holiday or the next relationship. Whatever it might be, you bank that eventually it might give you the kind of lasting satisfaction and peace. The Bible calls that foolish. Please think again. But rather than disregarding it, you could simply just live the disillusioned life. This is where you decide that the true fulfillment of your hopes will never actually be met. That it's an impossible dream. And you learn to settle down and not expect too much and ignore for the rest of your life that small voice that says, is this it? Is this really all there is? The Bible calls that hopeless. Please think again. See Jesus. Feel free to take one of these Bibles dotted around the room with you. Take it away, give it a read. Take an account of the life of Jesus, read that. Ask God to reveal himself to you. Cry out to God tonight. Speak to someone, one of your leaders, one of the leaders of this church. Jesus alone is the hope of the nations. And we are seeing that as seven individuals who we love go down into the water now for baptism. And as they do, they testify, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand.